I am not going to ask you to stand because we're going to be reading the scripture throughout the message, and you all look like Jack in the Boxes. So this is what we're going to do. Whenever it is time to read the scripture, I ask you, in honor of God's word, to place your hand over your heart. We began last week talking about being an encourager and about what it means to encourage and how necessary that is for us to find our way to life, and then how necessary it is for it to become a way of life for us. So this week, I said what we'll talk about is we will give you hard and fast ways that you can become an encourager. And we're going to begin in Acts, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 34th verse. There was not a needy person among them, for as many owned lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him and then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Barnabas is my favorite person, not just in the New Testament, but in the whole Bible. He's kind of my hero. You know, when I'm not talking about, you know, you set Jesus aside. I'm talking about, you know, just regular folk. Barnabas, son of encouragement, just a guy named Joseph, a Levite, lived not in the Holy Land, but lived in Cyprus. He was in town for Passover. He was there and he remained because he met Jesus. Not the physical Jesus, as far as we know, but he met Christ through the witnesses of the apostles, and he stayed there in Jerusalem. And while he was there, he became a part of the Christian community there. And he, more than anybody else, was a supporter. You know, you find all these people in the New Testament, you know, that are our heroes. You have the Pauls and the Peters, and you have all those people who are out front. You know, James, who began the Jerusalem church. You've got, you know, Peter. If anything new is happening, Peter's in the middle of it, right? You have Paul, who, you know, began churches everywhere. But even though Barnabas, as far as we know, never started anything. It could never have happened and never stayed without him. He wasn't the mover and the shaker, as in he was the big innovator that came in and got it all going by the force of his will. He was one of those people that helped everybody else become who they could be. He was the person that was the supporter, the encourager. Now, he was a Levite, so we know he didn't have much in the way of material possessions. So we don't know if this piece of land that he sold was large or small. We have no way of knowing. But I can almost guarantee it's all he had. And he wasn't the first one to give. But he gave with a full heart. He sold what he had and gave it so that others would not be in need. Because folks, encouragers are givers. You can't be an encourager unless you're a giver. Encouragers give not just of their stuff and their means, but they give of themselves. Encouragers are always giving. It's what they do. It's just as much a part of their nature as breathing is. Encouragers give, and they give without thought of reward, and they give without worrying about whether or not they're going to have enough. We have become a society that's all worried about us. We've become a very, very me-centered society. We want what we want when we want it. When we do good things, we want to be noticed for it. I've always been kind of surprised about how the church operates in that way. I think that, you know, there's a lot of people in this room who've done many wonderful things in the name of ministry, in the name of Christ, who want no recognition for it. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. And it's not wrong. I think we do need to encourage each other and recognize something and say thank you. But haven't you ever noticed that sometimes all of us, all human beings, do something to be noticed? And we might be doing something good, but we want to be noticed for it. It just happens that way. It's our little egos. We want to be, and not just appreciated, we want to be patted on the back and told how good we are. And sometimes we spend so much time telling people we don't want to be noticed that everybody notices us. Oh, I don't want anybody to notice that I gave $100,000. It's just like that. We know Barnabas wasn't this way because when you get to the rest of the story, it's about a guy named Ananias and Sapphira who gave their gift just to be noticed and then lied to the Holy Spirit about it. And it wasn't about the gift. It was about the nature of the giving. Generous, loving people are encouragers. Sometimes all folks need is a little helping hand. You know, sometimes it's just what people need, is a helping hand. And we have become so jaded that we can drive by the "We'll work for food" signs and just assume that it's a scam. We can drive by, you know, somebody on a bench and say, well, you know, if they hadn't been a drunk, they wouldn't have lost their job. You know, we can become very hard-hearted. But see, that's not what encouragers do. Encouragers give that helping hand and let God handle the rest. Let God handle it from there. You notice that when Barnabas gave, he didn't say, I'm giving this, but I only want you to use it for thus and so. Or I only want you to give it to these people because these are undeserving over here. He didn't do that. He just laid it at the apostles' feet and said, do with it as you will. Do with it as you will. Meet the need. That's what encouragers do. And then in Acts, the 9th chapter, when he, that is Paul, had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. This is a time when Paul, had come back to Jerusalem after his experience of salvation. You know, he had set out, he had been persecuting the Christians, arresting the Christians. He had stood by the stuff while they stoned Stephen to death. He was a hater of this new religion. And then on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus in a rather dramatic way. And he had spent then time, you know, discovering what he believed, and then he went out and began preaching Jesus boldly. And then, 3 years later, comes back to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. Jerusalem was not going to have any friends for Paul. All of the people who had been his cronies when he set out from there, persecuting the Christians, were going to see him as a traitor, as a turncoat. All of the people who were Christians, who were part of this new religion, were going to see him as an enemy. They weren't going to trust that this man who had been throwing them in prison and persecuting them in many ways was now all of a sudden a Christian? I mean, would you buy that? There was only one. As far as we know, there was only one person who accepted him for who he was, and that was Barnabas. Because you see, encouragers take risks. It's risky to be an encourager. It really is, because if you're going to be out supporting people, if you're going to hold them up and help them to be what they can be, chances are every once in a while you're going to get fooled. Every once in a while somebody's probably going to take advantage of you. Right? I mean, if you're known to be a giver, aren't you going to be taken advantage of? You just keep giving. And if you get it taken advantage of, you still keep trusting. That's hard. Paul had no friends. He had no friends in Jerusalem. Except this one guy who said, let's give him a chance. Who listened to his story. Who believed him and believed in him. Then it says, after he introduced him to the apostles, then Paul goes out through Jerusalem preaching boldly. Preaching boldly in the name of Christ. And just after this, he goes on and they set him on the road to Tarsus. They sent him on his way with their blessing and encouragement and saying, you go. It amazes me how little it takes to get somebody going, to get somebody from nowhere to somewhere just because one person believes in them. You need somebody to believe in you. Encouragers believe in people. They believe in them. And they forgive a past mistake. They keep saying, you know, there's something in this. There's something in this guy named Paul. He used to be this persecutor. Now he is a Christian. Let's support his ministry. And the disciples supported him. But it took that one to step out. Don't think for a minute that he wasn't taking a risk. The Christians could have expelled him too. Those who were enemies of Paul, who were trying to kill him, could have been after Barnabas too. It's risky to believe in people. But encouragers do just that. Nobody in this room would have achieved anything unless somebody believed in you. Nobody here has ever done anything on your own. Ever. All of your triumphs happened because someone, and it may have only been one, but someone believed in you. Someone encouraged you. Somebody said you can do it. Somebody said you're worth it. Somebody said that's better. That, that, that.
No, somebody.
That's all right. It is such a good thing to give people your trust. Because you will help them then be who they can be. I can't help but wonder what would have happened. Now, I think Paul would have still had a ministry. You know, that's not the point. But I wonder what it would have been like without Barnabas. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now those were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, and they spoke the word with to no one except Jews. But among them were some men proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. This news came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for an entire year they met with the church and taught a great many people. It was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. When Christianity began to spread, it didn't even occur to these people that the gospel had any relevance for Gentiles. That's not something that would have occurred to them. That was, you know, not even something that would have crossed their radar. This was a movement within Judaism, and that's what they expected it to remain. But you get over in Antioch, and you get these men with this wild idea of preaching to the Gentiles. And it worked. And the Gentiles begin to accept Christ. And they hear about this back in Jerusalem, and they know they send Barnabas over to see what's going on. Because this is something new. Not even sure this is supposed to happen. And they get there, and Barnabas says, this is a good thing because, folks, encouragers are inclusive. Encouragers don't pick and choose. They encourage everybody. Because it was here, in this place, and at this time, they finally got it. It is not about who you are. It's about who Jesus is. Yeah. It's about who Jesus is. It is about who He came for, which is the entire world, not just the Jews. This is where Christianity, as we know it, started. Because an encourager named Barnabas gave it the thumbs up. He went and he saw this new thing, and instead of standing back and say, wait a minute, you know, this is just for us. He said, no. This is for everybody. Let's include everybody that we can. It's one of the things that's kind of hard, you know, for church to do sometimes, is to be inclusive for everybody. Okay, don't let this go to your heads. I brag on you all the time. Only because I have the best church, not just in Kingsport. I've got the best church in the whole world. I believe that with my whole heart. I believe that God has brought this group of people together for a wonderful reason. And I will tell you what, there is not a person in this room that I do not have esteem for, that I don't appreciate. I love all of you all. I can't even want to paint your head off, don't get that wrong. But, you know, I love you. But the best thing about this church, the A number one best thing about this church is I've never heard anybody say I didn't feel welcome. Ever. Amen. Ever. I didn't ask them if I can do it, but I know it's okay. Right? Okay. When Ashley and Todd first came here with the tattoos and the piercings, they said, you know, they were going to give us a shot. And they were going to give us more than one shot because they figured it would take us a little time to get used to them. You know? They thought, you know, well, you know, we understand that tattoos and piercings can be off-putting to some people. And, you know, we'll give the church time to get used to us, to get to know us. They were going to give us more than one shot. But they didn't need more than one shot. They said when they walked in here, they felt welcome, that they felt loved. And you notice they've been here since the day they darkened the door. It is because everybody is welcome here. That's the spirit of Barnabas. That's the spirit of encouragement. Because you know for a fact that would not have been your experience everywhere. It should have been your experience in any church on the planet, but it wouldn't necessarily have been. No matter who you are, you're welcome in this body of people because none of us are normal. None of us are normal. Good Lord, the preacher doesn't even have shoes on. You know, a normal person comes here, you're going to be welcome. Whoever you are, someday a normal person will come here. They may not stay, but it won't be because they're not welcome. But encouraging people are inclusive people. We don't want to say, you know, this one's not welcome and that one's not welcome and you've got to be like us to be here. That doesn't even make sense. If you're the body of Christ, I don't need pews full of eyeballs. You know, I need eyes and ears and hands and feet. I need all the body of Christ to be working. Barnabas recognized this and encouraged the teaching of the Gentiles, even went over to Tarsus and got Paul and brought him back and spent a year growing that church. Didn't just give it lip service, invested in it. Encouragers don't just talk, they do. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Come, let us return and visit the believers in every city where we have proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." And Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul decided not to take him with them who had deserted them in Pamphylia and not accompanied them in the work. The disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Encouragers don't necessarily have an easy time of it. You know, don't think that everything was all good. When they had gone on one of their previous missionary journeys, Barnabas and Paul had taken Barnabas' cousin, John Mark. And we've read about some of this journey. We know that just journeying was hard. There was robbers and shipwrecks and there was cold and hunger and all of these things that just went with journeying. Add to that persecution, both from the Jewish community and the Gentile community. And Mark, on this journey, had had enough and went home. Now they're getting ready to start out again to visit the churches that they had planted and see how things are going and encourage them along. And he wants to take John Mark. And Paul says, no. In Paul's mind, John Mark was not worthy. He was a quitter. He gave up, so he was not worthy to go with them. He wasn't going to give him another shot. Isn't it interesting that Paul would do this when Barnabas took Paul before the other apostles and stood up for him? Go figure. But he wasn't going to take, and their disagreement was so pointed that Paul took Silas and went one way, and Barnabas took Mark and went the other. Now, we know who was right in this particular case, because John Mark became the writer of the Gospel of Mark, the first gospel to be written. Because encouragers see potential that nobody else sees. They see things in people that no one else can see. And we've done that. I have been as bad as anybody. I have seen people, and I've become frustrated with, or people that I have been disappointed by, or people that have been hurtful in some way. And I say, they're a waste of air. You know, I want to wash my hands. Encouragers don't do that. Encouragers never give up. Say that one with me. Encouragers never give up. You just don't give up. You might change, but you don't give up. He took someone that could have been a tossed away person. We don't really know what would have happened with Mark if Barnabas hadn't taken him with him, encouraged him, took him under his wing, taught him. We may have only had three gospels. We don't know. But I know that Barnabas saw something that even the great Paul couldn't see. And later on, when Paul is in Rome and in captivity, one of the things he writes is, bring John Mark to me, for he is a benefit to me. You know, so he recognized later on that, you know, he'd made the wrong choice. That John Mark really was someone that could be depended on. I don't know about you, but I've needed second chances and third chances and fourth chances because I've disappointed some people. Have you ever done that? Oh, okay. I take it that you have. Okay. Aren't you glad that there was an encourager there who gave you another shot? Somebody that just said, yeah, you know, you can still do it. You know, folks, the thing about encouragers is anybody can be one. Not everyone's going to be a church planner or a teacher or an orator. Not everybody has got, you know, not everybody's going to speak in tongues. Not everybody has the gift of healing. But every single person that calls themselves Christian ought to be a Barnabas. Because that is something we're all called to, and we all can be. All of us can be encouragers, not discouragers. Let's encourage each other. Let's tell each other, you know, okay, let's give that a shot. Worst thing that happens is it fails. We'll keep going. Let's learn. Let's keep doing new things for Jesus, because folks, without the encouragers, the church is going to die. There's a whole new world out there that is very different from us. Now, some people in this room are able to straddle that better than I do. I'm 55 years old. There's stuff going on out there that I don't even know how to pronounce, much less know what it is. There's all kinds there's a new world out there. And thank God for the kids that, you know, try to keep me informed. But the world is changing too fast for me. All I can do is encourage those who can make that transition better than myself and bring the word of Christ to this new generation. So that they and then can turn and encourage people. I don't know. I don't know what God's got in store. But I know he's got things in store for this church. If Jesus tarries for another 100 years, in 100 years, I expect Kendricks Creek United Methodist Church to still be here. Because of what we do today. Encouraging young things to grow. Making the transitions where we need to. Hanging on to the rock solid gospel without change. Let's be the church on the hill with the nickname Barnabas. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.